I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning with you. Mainly, I'm going to be focusing on the Georgia part. I included the Texas part as well as my co-authors from Texas, Craig Bednarz and Flory Mills, so that if y'all ask me any questions I can't answer, I can turn it over to them. I'd also like to recognize Lola Sexton and Trey Davis, who helped out a lot on this as well. The impetus behind this was trying to improve our fiber quality by looking at some of the potential quality components related to the growth of the cotton and yield distribution. And so we wanted to, first of all, identify the growth components that affected yield and quality, and then see if some of that was tied to yield distribution, and then look at the interaction between water deficit and quality in a couple of varieties of cotton. We had irrigated and non-irrigated plots, and we had a split plot of 555 versus the first year Fibermax 960. And then between 2007 and 2008, 960 kind of disappeared from the market, so we went to 9063. And we grew these inside side-by-side plots within the irrigation treatments. We measured plant height, nodes above first square and white flower, radiation capture, and then we did in-season and post-harvest plant mapping. Our student workers had so much fun plant mapping at the end of the season that we thought that we'd give them a chance to do some in the middle of the season as well. The way that we measured our radiation capture was by measuring fractional PPF absorbed. This is simply the incident minus the reflected, the transmitted, and added a little bit of the reflected back into the plant as a percentage of the total. Just a quick look at some of the differences that we saw between the varieties. This is plant height over the growing season. Notice that about the time we started to get into the addition of fruit, we really started to see a difference in the plant height. It first separated by irrigation, and then right after that it separated by variety, and eventually the non-irrigated 555, which is a very aggressive variety, as you know, overtook the irrigated Fibermax variety. We saw similar results in 2008, except we even saw a quicker change between the 555 and the 9063. Similar results with the fractional PPF absorbed. We did see some difference by variety in the absorbed radiation compared to the plant height, meaning that the Fibermax 960 actually absorbed more light at a lower height, meaning that it had a different leaf structure. I'd really like to focus, if I may, on some of the fruiting distribution during the season and at the end of the season. The way I'm going to look at it to start out with is just looking at the first position bowls. And so what we're going to do is each of the nodes up the plant are going to be in the node here, and then we'll just look at either mass, bowl number, whatever we want to on the x-axis here to see how we had a difference in the yield distribution. As an example, this is our total first position fruit dry weight by node, first position again. You'll notice that 50 days after planting, we were already seeing some differences in where the crop was setting its fruit, and that continued on throughout the season. If we look at bowl number, again, we see the same trend. The 960 or the 9063, depending on the year, making more bowls at the bottom of the plant. 555 starting out kind of slow at the bottom of the plant, then compensating with large numbers of bulls toward the middle or top of the plant. So when we get to the harvest, we have the separation in the yield distribution. I apologize for this next set of slides. I left the error bars on here and realized how ugly it looked, but I didn't have the software to take them off, so bear with me. This is a change in the bull number by node, so we can actually track the dynamics of where the cotton is putting the bull numbers from week to week. This was the first week. Notice already we have the 9063 developing at the lower nodes and the 555 developing at the higher nodes. And this trend continues. Now all of the yield has shifted toward the middle of the plant, but the 555 is still riding on the high side of the 9063. This continues on. Here's 70 days after planting. Now all of the yield has been shifted to the top of the plant for the 555, and the 9063 has almost shut down at this point. Notice that the 555 is still producing bulls out here. Some of these aren't going to be harvestable, but the 9063 is pretty much stopped. And then on day 84, suddenly we have a switch. At this point, apparently the bull load becomes great enough that the plant has to shed bulls because it's run out of carbohydrates. And now we have these dramatic drops in our bull numbers in areas of the plant where we expect to have good yield and high quality cotton. This is most dramatic in the 9063, suggesting that this is part of the reason that 9063, the Fibermax varieties with similar genetics, don't really do well in South Georgia, whereas they do very well in some of the western states like Texas. It's because eventually in Georgia you run out of your carbohydrates and it's got to start throwing things off the ship. Day 93, similar pattern now. The bull number loss has shifted up a little bit. Eventually by harvest, most of the bulls that we've lost are right there at the top of the plant. Another thing that we noticed both years, I'm showing the 2007 data, was that we had a higher average bull weight for the Fibermax varieties across the board than we did for the 555. One other thing I'd like to look at real quick with you is now overall three positions, again over all of the nodes, and show just the dynamic changes in the yield distribution. The idea on this is that these redder areas are the places where we've got the most, less, and out here we don't really have any yield distribution at all. We start out right at the beginning. You can already see the 555 is producing a little bit higher, both in the first and second positions, and this just becomes more dramatic as we go through the season. Eventually, by the time we get near the end of the flowering, we have a very high distribution on the 555, higher in the plant, and on the 9063 we have it a lot lower in the plant. And this is shown in our yield as well. We actually have higher yield in the Fibermax varieties below about node 10, a lot higher yield above node 12, 13. And we also see a lot more compensation in the second position as well, right in that same area. I drew these little curved lines on here just to point out, as you know, cotton produces fruit on the second position later than it does on the first position. You can actually see this pattern take place, that these places that it's significant match up with each other by date, even though they're not on the same node. This had an effect on our final weight. Our 555 yielded a lot better. Our irrigated also yielded better for both years. We had a dramatic difference in our in our quality, not so much with Micronair, but with staple, strength, length, uniformity. Really the 555 out-yielded the Fibromax dramatically, but the Fibromax had dramatically higher quality. That brought up the question, was part of this quality difference due to actually where the crop put its fruit? Were these higher zones of the plant actually producing the bulk of the low quality cotton for the 555? So we separated the bulls into zones of the plant. The lower part was 5 through 8, the middle part 9 through 12, and the top of the plant 13 plus. We don't have the quality data back for 2008, but the 2007 results, the quality was better for the Fibromax 960 from bottom to top. It didn't really matter whether we were at the bottom of the plant, the middle of the plant, the top of the plant. It all performed better. So we can't just say that this difference in fiber quality is due to where it's placing it on the plant. I suspect a lot more of it is within bowl components, possibly also a difference in the carbohydrate sinks where the bowls are able to receive more of what they want. So in summary, we had higher fruit on the 555, more total nodes and height, heavier bowls. We had for the 960, we had higher quality for the 960 and much higher yield for the 555. We're still working at putting together the pieces of the quality puzzle with partitioning dynamics, distribution, and looking at other options as well. But I would like to thank the University of Georgia Cotton team, who's helped us with this project, and the Stripling Irrigation Research Park staff, as well as the Georgia Cotton Commission and Cotton Incorporated, who helped us with funding for this over the last couple of years. At this time, it looks like I may have time for about one question.
One or two. I have a question for Glenn. If not, let's thank him very much.
Thank you.